This is Audible.
Podium Publishing presents Shadow Core, Book One of the Shadow Core series, written by Justin Sloan, performed by Tess Irondale. Prologue. Hadrian's Ship, Milky Way. Hadrian wasn't the type to abandon his people in time of conflict, but this wasn't about them anymore. In truth, it wasn't accurate to say the elders were his people. They had brought him in, established him as one of their elites, and charged him with leading black ops against the enemy forces allied against them. The charge was his, and he would see it done, but he would do it his way. His entire planet had been wiped out, after all, since he was the only one left who could truly capture glimpses of what was to come. He had no doubt that his actions were the right ones. Still, as he departed the Andario galaxy on his ship, a highly modified destroyer he had taken to calling Neraldian after his lost love, he felt a pang of guilt at the knowledge that they would be attacked and lose at least one of their members. He didn't know who, as his visions didn't work like that. The alternative, however, was a complete defeat at the hands of their enemy. Other versions of the possible future he saw in his visions involved defeat, but nothing like this. Dreams came at him of torn gates, massive ships, and worse. One option would be to destroy all the gates, but that would leave the members of the Andario Alliance cut off from each other, and Earth completely abandoned. Samantha completely abandoned. He couldn't allow that. And even if he could stomach such isolation, leaving each race to their own defense, the inevitable defeat would simply take longer. As far as he could see, only one path led to victory. There were many twists and turns along that route, potential pitfalls that could even lead the path to cease existing. But if it all worked out, if by some miracle everyone played their part to the closest possible state of perfection, there was hope. One distant, barely visible image flickered through his visions, and it was glorious. He would do all he could to see that vision come true, or die trying.
"Sir, proceed as planned?"
his captain asked, and Hadrian nodded.
"Roger that."
They steered Neraldian toward the gate, and Hadrian made a motion across his display, waving a hand so that the gate's nodes initiated. Purple and turquoise light flooded the area between the nodes, forming the portal that would jump them through several other galaxies before finally reaching the gate he had set up for Earth access.
"Take her through, Captain,"
Hadrian commanded.
"They've waited long enough."
As the thrusters kicked in and the ship entered the gate, they were surrounded by the light, a river of flowing colors. It always reminded Hadrian of back home, before the attack. Before the day of the great destruction that had thrown his life upside down, but left him with these powers. The powers to become any one of the others who had sacrificed their lives so that he might live and save the universe. So that he might absorb their energy, as was their way, and fight as if they were still with him until the very end. He was damn sure not going to let them down. A vision came through, kicking him inside the head and filling his mind with images of blasters exploding and ships falling, crashing into each other.
"Prepare for battle,"
he told the captain.
"But..."
The captain knew better than to doubt, but his reaction made sense. There was no reason the enemy should be waiting for them on the other side of this jump, but Hadrian had seen it. He knew they were. With a quick apology, the captain readied additional thrusters so they could quickly make it to the next gate. Then he swiped his hands across his display, touching images on the screen as lights flared and announced blasters and turrets ready for defensive maneuvers.
"Strike that,"
Hadrian said with a hint of a smile.
"Offensive maneuvers, Captain. We need to send them a message. Tell them to get the hell out of our backyard."
The captain nodded, likely smiling too behind his golden faceplate. As light stopped flowing past and new stars and planets became visible, alarms sounded and the enemy ships flooded into view, at least a dozen of them.
"Bring 'em hell, Captain,"
Hadrian mumbled, then took his seat on the command deck, preparing for the show. There was no way they could have been prepared for Hadrian and his Neraldian. As they swept through the fleet, blasting them to debris with blasts of purple light, he imagined it was him and his love out there, tearing through their enemies as they had done in their youth. He let his body transform, glowing gold and then becoming her, in a sense, so that she could have her moment of victory there with him. It was how his people worked, absorbing the other's energy when they passed. All were gone but him, so he had absorbed much energy. The moment didn't last long, however, and as they left the remnants of enemy ships to fall off into space, defeated, he held his hand to his face and sighed.
"For you, Neraldian,"
he thought.
"I'll kill them all for you, and then we will be together once again."
"Permission to jump, sir?"
the captain asked. Hadrian rose from his seat, transforming back into the old, haggard man he so often preferred, a broken face for a broken soul, and nodded.
"Well done, Captain. Proceed as planned."
Specks of light flickered before his eyes, forming a faint path toward a pulsating glow somewhere out there, but not really out there at all. A vision that showed this path to be the right one. They were making progress. Chapter 1. Earth, Ground Zero. The first time Samantha had seen the world end, it had terrified her. Of course, that vision had been long ago. Over 3 years, if her estimation was correct. Since then, the vision had come to her in nightmares and flashes in her mind, and each time it seemed more blurred, more unsure. The vision was always the same, an alien armada unlike anything the world had ever seen. Not the invasion that had already taken over the world and held it in a state of martial law. No, this invasion would put their current overlords to shame. The Syndicate would fight and, in the end, be crushed. It didn't help that others called her crazy. It also didn't help that she was certain she would have a hand in saving the world, because that meant it could only end badly. Either she would be proven right, and an alien invasion greater than any they had ever known would destroy their world, or she would fulfill her destiny, but her so-called friends would go on thinking she was insane. The latter would do, she decided, as she stared out of her foxhole, waiting for the Syndicate drone to fly by. They always did at this time of day. A patrol, one of many set up to ensure everyone was in by curfew. If the drone was lucky, it would find members of the Resistance, the Last Remaining Resistance, or LRR, as its members like to refer to it. There had once been a world with governments and their separate militaries, a space corps of marines, and a resistance. That resistance had sometimes partnered with the space corps and other militaries, sometimes went out on their own, and sometimes even fought against the militaries. But not anymore. Now it was simply the LRR, a ragtag group of survivors that had joined together when the Syndicate had won. It all started with the day Samantha's mom, Quinn, went missing. But Samantha preferred not to think about that. especially not when such thoughts would distract her and ruin her chance of hitting her target. Their goal today was simple. Knock out the drones within a one-block radius, then hit the local patrol mech. Ever since the Syndicate had won, cities were scoured by drones looking for trouble. If they found it, patrol mechs would come through to collect prisoners, or leave bodies. Samantha's faction of the LRR had formulated a plan to secure a block, set up anti-air missiles and a defense against Syndicate airstrikes, and then, if possible, take over one of the mechs. With Dan's hacking skills, Samantha almost believed it could be possible. She smiled at the thought of Dan, with his piercing blue eyes like ice. Not the kind of ice that would freeze your heart, but the kind that stopped you dead in your tracks. Too bad he was 6 years her senior, a fact he didn't know but bothered her. A whirring sound came from nearby, and Samantha checked the display on her armband. It showed incoming blips that she took for at least 3 drones. More than she had expected, but not unmanageable. She wrapped her arm in the sling of her rifle for stability, then sat cross-legged and formed a triangle with her arms, right finger on the trigger. Breathing in, she watched the sights rise slightly above the zone where she had spotted the drone pass the last 3 days in a row. Breathing out, the sights lined up perfectly. The whirring grew louder. Her mind wandered to Dan again, imagining him down there, preparing his gear to make a move on the mech when it showed up. He was so diligent when he worked, so focused on the task and on achieving the goal. She smiled, remembering how they had met, him guarding her when she was imprisoned by a group of raiders and resistance. How funny that now they were working together.
Go time!
One of the women in the team, Ashley, whispered through the earpiece, pulling Sam back to the present. Breathe in, breathe out.
Bam!
She had squeezed the trigger, the bullet had hit its target, and down went the first drone. Checking her screen, Samantha didn't see the other two. In fact, she saw nothing. This could mean the others weren't there at all, or it could mean their signals were being scrambled.
Shit, she said into her earpiece. Anyone there?
No response. They were definitely being scrambled. That was bad. Without hesitation, Samantha stood, turned back to the fire escape she had been camped out on, and ran up to the roof, ducking between the brick stairwell exit and a series of fans. It was dangerous being out in the open, but she had to see what they were up against. She spotted Ashley on the next building over, under a tarp spray-painted gray so it acted as camouflage from anyone above. The woman saw her too, gesturing for her to get back down. Ashley held her hand to her ear and said something, but nothing came through. Ashley's face scrunched up, and she repeated herself. It was a look she wore too often, a look that seemed to say, "Why are you so stupid?" A look that Samantha had more than once wanted to smack off that pretty face. Maybe it had something to do with the fact that Ashley and Dan had been rumored to have feelings for each other, though there hadn't been any proof on the matter.
Wait a minute, Samantha realized. If Ashley didn't know the comms weren't working, maybe hers still were. And if only Samantha's weren't, that meant at least one of the drones was on her side of the building. She threw caution to the wind and ran to the edge of the roof, staying low as best she could until she reached the ledge. She ducked and took a deep breath, then lifted her rifle and spun, aiming down, searching. She spotted one.
Bam!
It fell, only to be replaced by another a moment later. This one had spotted Samantha immediately, and a red light flickered on at the drone's metallic nose.
Shit, 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 Samantha said.
Then, to her surprise, a click sounded in her earpiece.
What did you do, girl? Ashley demanded, and Samantha realized taking out the one drone had canceled the interference.
Bam!
She shot and missed. Blasts flew out from the drone, sending bits of the concrete barrier into the air as Sam ducked, pulling herself across the rooftop and back to cover. The whirring grew louder, and she turned to see the drone rise over the ledge. It aimed it at her, and then...
Bam!
Ashley had fired, clipping the drone's wing and causing its shot to barely miss Samantha. The mech turned, did a quick scan of the area, and then retreated.
It's pulling back until reinforcements arrive! Samantha shouted, leaping to her feet and giving chase.
Damn it!
She reached the ledge, put one foot on it to use her knee to stabilize her rifle, then fired. The shot made contact, causing the drone to veer to its left and then crash into the building. But it was too late. The signal had been sent out, and when she looked at her screen, there were 5 or 6 more incoming. And something large.
Guys, that mech is coming back, but it ain't alone.
We see that.
Ashley's voice responded, the electronics not failing to hide the irritation.
Just stay sharp,
Dan said.
I'm coming up.
We need you down here, Ashley said. That mech won't be ours if you don't do your job.
And if you two die, we're in trouble.
Sam knew he was right. He would need all hands covering his ass while he hacked into the mech. And since the LRR had sent a team of only 5, losing 2 would be a big loss.
I got this, she said, this time standing and deliberately walking back toward the edge of the roof.
No!
Ashley called out.
Not this again. Come on, someone get this wacko under control.
I can do it. I swear. The words caused her mouth to go dry. She had done it before, this magic. More than once, as a matter of fact. She'd had a teacher back then, a man who had shown her how to manipulate matter. To do magic, if you wanted to call it that. He didn't, though. He said it was simply science, learning how to connect with matter and change it to your will. But she had been younger then, barely a teen. The memories were fading, and lately she had even started to wonder if the others were right, if it had all been a dream and she was a nut job. The man who called himself Gunny, nothing more, just Gunny, insisted in his insensitive way that she had gone apeshit the day her mom went missing. Others, including Dan, had heard about her exploits even before then, and speculated that she had gone crazy years before her mom's disappearance. None of their accusations mattered to Sam, though. Sometimes at night she would wake up, feeling the power course through her. She would imagine that day her mom had left, as Dan had said it happened. She had likely believed Samantha to be dead, a thought that haunted those dreams more than any other. Samantha had survived the explosion. She had saved her mom's life. Wherever she fell on the spectrum between normal and batshit crazy, she was sure of those two things. And right now, she was going to put her powers to the test. Feet planted firmly apart, she focused on her breathing. Deep breath in, slowly letting it out. Focus. The whirring drew closer, nearly upon her. Ashley's cursing grew louder in her ear, until finally Samantha tore out the earpiece. Again, she focused on her breathing. But as the whirring grew louder, she knew her heart was beating too fast. Her palms were too clammy. It wasn't happening.
Damn it, girl!
Dan shouted, appearing next to her with his plasma blaster at the ready. The sight of those eyes staring at her would have made her weak in the knees, if not for the mix of ferocity and disappointment in them.
I can do it, she insisted, knowing she was trying to convince herself as much as him.
He just shook his head, a compassion coming over his eyes that bordered on pity, and then turned to lift his blaster and fire. Ashley appeared a moment later, blowing her cover to join in the defense of their rooftop, and soon it was clear their scanners had been dead wrong. There weren't just a few extra bones, there were at least a dozen. Dan pulled Samantha back by the collar into the protection of the stairwell, then shouted for her to snap out of it. She stared at the drones, hearing them fire and watching as bullets and lasers tore apart the roof nearby, and gathered her will. Shouldering her rifle, Samantha took aim and connected with the red dot of a drone just as it swerved to get them in its sights.
Kaboom!
It exploded, taking down two next to it.
That's why the hell we keep you around,
Dan whooped in victory.
Thanks for the reminder.
He ducked around the corner and let out a series of shots, then flung himself back and out of the way of more fire.
Damn it, Dan!
Ashley's voice sounded through Dan's earpiece, and from the other roof at the same time, reminding Samantha that she hadn't put her own earpiece back in yet. She did so just in time to nearly go deaf as Ashley shouted,
"Get off that roof!"
"She's right," Samantha said. "Go!" He shook his head and was about to argue, when his eyes went wide and he aimed his blaster over Samantha's shoulder. She felt the vibration through his arm as it came to rest against her, and then he was pulling her toward the stairs.
"You go. I'll hold them off."
"No, Dan!"
She was cut off by an intense whirring as five drones appeared behind him, the red circles at their noses already lit, ready to fire. Without time to think, without the slightest bit of hesitation, Samantha aimed in, focused on the farthest drone. She took a deep breath and squeezed the trigger as an intense warmth flooded through her muscles. But her weapon never went off. Instead, she sat there, staring, as the drone she had focused on shook, rattling, and everything froze in place except for the mechanized beast. Samantha stared, amazed and confused. Time moved again as the drone shook harder, turned red hot, and then exploded, taking down the rest of them with it. The blast sent Samantha and Dan tumbling down the stairs, and he landed on top of her with an oomph as her head smacked the floor. At first, she saw stars, blue stars, then realized they were his eyes, inches from her, close enough to kiss her. She cocked her head, and as out of place as the thought was, she hoped he would. But no, he was shouting something, his lips moving, and then he had her, pulling her up.
"Are you okay?"
The words came like a distant whisper, accompanied by a dull ringing that grew louder and then suddenly stopped, allowing his voice to come in clear this time.
"Sam, are you with me?"
She nodded, eyes wide.
"Holy cajoles," she thought. What had happened? Had she had something to do with that?
"Must have been a malfunction,"
Dan said, wrapping an arm around her and leading her down the stairs as fast as they could go. He holstered his blaster and pressed his earpiece back in.
"Ashley, you up there? We're making our way back."
"Copy that,"
Ashley said through their earpieces, her voice shaky.
"They're all down. I don't know what the hell happened, but they're all down."
"Malfunction,"
Dan repeated. But for the slightest second, his eyes flittered over to Samantha. There was awe there. Terror-filled awe, but definitely awe. He had seen her do it. With a smile at the fact she no longer doubted herself, and that he had looked at her like that, she said into her earpiece, "Gunny, you out there?"
"Yeah, girl,"
Gunny's raspy voice replied.
"What you got for me?"
"We're coming out, me and Danny boy.
Get everyone in place. We're taking over this mech.
Cheerios!
Gunny called back in his gung-ho way.
Just get everyone ready, you corny SOB,
Dan said into his earpiece, then paused at the second-to-last stairwell down, hands on Samantha's shoulders as he stared into her eyes.
Checking for a concussion,
he said, then nodded and released her.
You ready for this?
She nodded back.
And whatever that was, up there, think you can do it again, if needed?
This time she grinned with a more enthusiastic nod.
I've got some questions for you when this is all done,
he said.
Maybe an apology, too, for ever doubting you. I'd say a drink, if you're old enough.
We'll figure something out. The words slipped out, and she blushed at the sound of them. His eyes went wide, apparently seeing right through her. She wanted to meld into the wall behind her, just become part of it and sink out of existence. But then his smile returned, and he shook his head with a chuckle.
Just keep those bastards off of me if they return. Got it?
She nodded, wanting to thank him for ignoring her accidental flirtation. With a wave of his hand, he was off, and she was forced back to thoughts on their present situation instead of teenage swooning. Probably for the best, she told herself. Right now, she needed to stay focused. They emerged from the dim stairwell into the blinding light of day. A vibration rumbled through the ground, and then another, quicker and quicker.
Mech incoming!
Gunny shouted over the earpieces. Dan took off at a sprint, only pausing long enough to turn back and say,
Hurry your ass! Sam,
Gunny said,
get in position 6.
And follow your damn orders this time, Ashley chimed in.
On it,
Samantha replied, breaking off from Dan to turn left past an old thrift store recently turned to rubble. She moved along the side streets of what had once been Cleveland. The smell of smoke and gunpowder hung in the chilly air, and sometimes the team would joke that it was sure cold for hell. She darted past Gunny, gave a nod, and found her spot at an improvised bunker at the edge of their block, where she could see the incoming mech.
Holy balls,
she thought, as she set the thing in her sights. It was huge, bounding forward with each step and given an extra boost from thrusters at its back. While most would think of mechs as smooth or angled like a tank, this one was clearly meant to be part kill machine, part intimidation. Its back was ridged to give it an alien look, its face glowing red. Spikes rose from its arms above the cannon on one side and the blaster on the other.
Thud, thud, thud.
Almost on us, she shouted.
I'm in place,
Dan's smooth voice came back.
You tell me when.
She waited, feeling each heartbeat send her blood coursing through her skull. A warm tingling went through her, and she wondered if it was an after effect of whatever she had done on the rooftop, or simply a rush from the thrill of the moment.
Now!
She shouted, and everything moved into double time. She was up, firing at the mech's feet, and then retreating into the nearby building to distract it.
Boom!
Its cannon took out a 12-foot radius of the area where she had just been standing. Lucky for her, she moved fast. A rattling sounded as its shoulder gun readied, but she was hurrying past the next building already, preparing to loop back around. More shots sounded, and she knew Ashley had taken her spot on the roof. More explosions, followed by shouting in the earpiece, and then Samantha was in her second position. Where was that son of a bitch? She glanced around, seeing only rubble and smoke. Beyond all that, more smoke rose in the distance,
black, thick. Was that? It was!
Gunny, we got smoke coming from the direction of home base! She shouted into the earpiece.
Damn it, Sam!
He replied.
Stay focused!
But Gunny!
I know! Ain't nothing we can do about it right now but keep to the mission. We get this mech, we score a point against the Syndicate. Right now we need a damn point.
If the Syndicate is really our ultimate enemy, Sam thought, remembering her visions of the end of the world, remembering what the man, or alien, whatever he was, had shown her. Hadrian, that was his name. And if her power was real, then so was he. The validation hit her like a punch to the throat, and for a moment she couldn't breathe. All her memories came flooding back to her. Then she saw him. A quick glimpse, at first a tail of smoke, then a man in a robe. He was gone when she looked again, but it was enough to rattle her. If he was back, why? Why now?
Sam, you got eyes on the mech?
Dan asked. She spun, searching, and then...
Thud, thud, thud.
It appeared around the corner, its massive metal spikes of blue and red facing her.
It's got its back to me, facing your way, she hissed.
I'm going for it,
Dan replied.
It's too risky.
Risk?
Dan chuckled, though it was a nervous one.
Risk is what we're doing, Sam. We're out here risking our lives for everyone back there, and I mean to see it through.
Sure, Samantha thought, as she glanced back at the smoke coming from the direction of their base. If anyone was back there to keep alive anymore.
Ah!
Dan shouted, and then he appeared, leaping from a building and going straight for the mech. When she and others opened fire, away from the mech so as not to hit Dan, the mech turned, ready to engage, and Dan did his magic.
The plate's off,
he said.
Connecting wires.
We've got more drones incoming,
Ashley shouted, and Gunny cursed.
Give me 30 seconds,
Dan hissed. More gunfire. The sound of the mech's cannon, and then an explosion.
I'm hit,
Gunny said.
Holy ego waffle balls, that hurts!
Stay put, Ashley said. I'm coming for you.
Damn it, Ash,
Gunny replied.
Stay where the hell you are. Dan needs you.
I can get to you,
Sam said, turning to see where she had last seen Gunny.
How's that mech looking, Dan?
Got the wires, just... Don't you dare, Sam!
Gunny shouted.
Everyone stay put! Just a little... blood! I'll...
Silence followed. Or as much silence as could, while buildings exploded from a mech gone berserk and 3 LRR fighters shooting to distract it.
Gunny's down! He's down! Damn it!
Ash screamed. After a moment, Dan's voice came through again.
And we got the mech.
It was a moment of horrible internal conflict. Gunny had been important to the cause, and yet this had been something they'd been working toward. Something they knew had the possibility to turn around the fate of the Resistance. Still, no amount of success could make up for the pain tearing through Sam's chest over the loss of Gunny. It was almost unbearable, but it wasn't the first time they'd lost someone, and it wouldn't be the last. If they let this stall them, then that meant they would have let it beat them.
Get the mech moving, Dan,
Samantha said over the comms.
We've got to go.
For the love of... Ashley started. But Dan cut her off.
She's right. Gunny would have wanted it.
Silence. Whirring again. Loud whirring. Samantha spun to see a pack of drones coming her way, rising up and taking aim.
We've got company! she screamed, backpedaling. They aimed in, the lights of their targeting systems creating red lines in her eyes. Her mind was telling her to reach for the gun and shoot, or run. Anything but sit there like a target. Bullets started flying, and she could see them in slow motion, emerging from the barrels. It was as if time had slowed and now stopped. A flash of red and black, an arm around her torso, another under her legs, and she was at the next building over as time reset and the drones pulverized the empty spot where she had been a split second before. Her vision cleared, and she saw her rescuer. Hadrian. His face was fluid, changing before her eyes. It settled on an image he knew she would find pleasing, if not slightly disturbing, especially since she wasn't totally convinced her memories of him were real. A man in his 40s, salt and pepper hair with a bit of stubble, and the same smile as her mom. It was what she sometimes imagined her dad might look like, even though she had no way of knowing. She had never met the douchebag Marine who impregnated her mom and then took off. The drones whirred, confused. Then they zipped away, sensing something around the corner.
"We have to go back for them!"
Sam shouted, struggling to break free from Hadrian.
"They already got Gunny! We can't just..."
She trailed off as gunfire sounded nearby, followed by explosions and then more gunfire and shouting.
"Damn it!"
She pushed Hadrian away and fell to the rooftop. Another wave of drones appeared, followed by a second loud stomping toward them.
"This is the time,"
Hadrian said, holding out a hand for her to take.
"This is your time."
"What the hell are you talking about?"
She pulled her rifle around, aiming in on the drones and firing. Now they were on to her, but at least she'd kept them away from the shitstorm that was happening down below. Hadrian closed his eyes and held out a hand. A pulse of energy like a shockwave flew out from him and hit the closest drone, causing it to start vibrating. The other drone zipped around it as the mech came within feet, then the vibration stopped. All sound seemed to cease, and then...
kaboom!
All of the drones were blasted by the explosion, tearing them to pieces as the mech below was knocked onto its back, its control box shattered and its shields down.
"This is bigger than them, Sam,"
Hadrian said, and this time he didn't wait for her to take his hand. He grabbed her, picking her up, and turned from the battle.
"Nothing's bigger than them!"
He sighed, looking at her and then at the devastation below, and said,
"I'll show you. They will be fine."
In a flash, they were on a completely different rooftop. Samantha saw the first mech go running by, glide forward with its thrusters, and strafe across an opening between buildings as it unleashed with a blaster that took out the last two drones. She couldn't believe Dan had really done it. With a yelp of excitement, she ran to the edge of the roof, looking for them. She spotted him with his controls on the opposite side of the street, within the skeleton of a building. He moved his head as if to look up, and her hand raised in return. But then something caused him to look behind him instead. A moment later, Ashley was there, jumping into his arms, laughing, and then... they were kissing. It hit Samantha like a lead pipe. She couldn't breathe. Her muscles tensed and her vision blurred, and then the window beside Ashley and Dan started to vibrate. They both turned and looked up, but Hadrian yanked Samantha away.
"This is precisely why you must come with me," he said.
He moved a hand out in front of him, and a gateway opened.
"You have the power. Now you must learn to control it."
"That wasn't me. I can't..."
"Yes, it was. And you can." One more minute, and those people you care so much about would have been full of shards of glass, thanks to your inability to control what I have taught you.
He smiled, though the smile looked unnatural on his face.
Now, it's time you reach the next level.
But the Resistance, they need me.
Sam, look at me.
He held her shoulders, staring into her eyes.
You have been fighting for Earth, but not in the way you think. What I'm offering is for you to be part of an elite team, one of several chosen to go up against the real enemy here. An enemy I've hinted at before, but only now will you begin to truly comprehend.
She felt like she had tasted a cake and loved it, then had the whole thing shoved into her face. How the hell was she supposed to process all of this? Hadrian added,
What you'll be fighting for from now on isn't just Earth. It's much more. Sam, you'll be fighting for the fate of the universe.
How does one argue that? Sam was here for the fight, and if there was an opportunity to take it to the next level, she was ready, or at least she couldn't say no. She only wished she'd been told earlier. Turning to the flowing light of the jump point, she steeled any remaining doubts, pushed them deep down, and then burned the hell out of them with her passion and determination. No more room for doubts. No more room for failure. She stepped into the gate, ready to save the universe. Everything went black, then lights flashed around her and she lost consciousness. Visions returned of massive spider mechs and aliens so vile she wanted to turn and cry at the sight of them. An assault on Earth opened before her like a veil being lifted to reveal the universe, all of it in chaos. And then she was in a bed, a cold sweat on her brow. She sat up, looking around, confused. Her head ached and her stomach clenched and unclenched repeatedly. How long had the travel taken? Where was she, and when was the last time she had eaten? Then she noticed the man at the end of the room, and he noticed her. No, not a man, but man-like. Humanoid, but with translucent skin and eyes that looked like they were literally balls of fire. He cocked his head, said something muted and indistinct, and then walked toward her. Samantha's heart fluttered, her mouth went dry, and then she fell back to the bed, once again unconscious. Chapter 2. Hadrian's Ship, Sickbay. Napalm, as they had nicknamed him in the great wars against the Old Ones, bent over the girl's bed and called out for Hadrian. When the old Magi stuck his head in the doorway, still in his salt and peppered haired form, Napalm nodded at the girl and said,
You told me to let you know when she awoke.
Hadrian entered, ran his hands in the air a foot above Samantha's body, and then nodded.
She'll need to eat when she's up. Send her to the showers and...
I'm no one's babysitter,
Napalm said.
You get to teach me your way. You don't get to be my boss.
Hadrian shook his head.
You have more to learn than I thought. See to it.
With that, the Magi was off, leaving Napalm alone with the girl.
Son of a bitch.
He went over to the small desk and sat, staring at the lamp. After a bored moment, he reached over and placed his hand on the bulb, absorbing its energy until it started flickering.
Don't,
Samantha said, sitting with a hand to her head.
It's annoying as hell.
He turned to her, lifted his hand, and let the energy flow back to the lamp so that the light flared steady again. What are you? He smirked, but just shook his head at the idea that there were still those in the universe who didn't know about him and his kind. So many spoke the common tongue, the language adapted by Hadrian and the elders, spread out through the allies, her language. And yet, she didn't even know he existed. Fine. She looked up at him, staring.
How the hell do you do that anyway?
He shrugged.
How does the human body heal on its own? Not all races have that power, you see. My people thrive on energy, and using that same energy can heal, much like you. But only if the energy is around.
It riled him that they had chosen her for this training, and especially for the mission to follow. He didn't know much about it yet, but had a feeling they weren't up here just to load bullets or charge plasma blasters. This was going to get dirty, and someone had brought in a teenage girl. Judging by her build, which wasn't bad for a human, she couldn't have been more than 16 or 17. Clearing her throat, Samantha gave him a, "Can I help you?" look, and he realized he must have been staring.
"You hungry?"
he asked.
"I'm going that way, and don't mind if you tag along."
"I could eat."
"Earthers always can,"
he said with a chuckle as they left the room and headed down the white, sterile hall. She frowned in a way that reminded him how young she looked.
"Are we moving? It doesn't feel like we're moving."
"Hadrian's powers go beyond explosions and fancy swordplay,"
the man replied.
"He's set up the ship with counterpoints that turn 10 gravities of flight speed into the equivalent of floating along in a hot air balloon, as far as our bodies are concerned."
"And that accounts for the artificial gravity?"
"Look at you, Ms. Fast Learner."
He chuckled.
"Good. We need fast learners on this ship."
Not much of what he had told her made sense, but she knew enough to know that travel in space on any ship other than Hadrian's would likely feel very different.
"So, what's your story?"
"I don't got one. My life isn't a damn story, it's a series of people dying, me getting revenge and struggling to survive. You want to call that a story? I'd say it's a horror story. But I sure as hell ain't sharing it with you."
He blinked, totally taken aback and liking it.
"You've got more spark than I would have thought, kid."
"Ooh, you're impressed. Now I can die in peace." She smirked.
"Sassy. Just remember, a little sass is cute, but the amount you're putting off, it gets old real fast."
"I'll be sure to jot that down in my notebook along with all the other opinions of yours I don't care about."
He laughed.
"Okay, not old yet. And for the record, I don't find you attractive."
"What? Where the hell did that come from?"
He gestured back to the room.
"I could tell you thought I was checking you out. That couldn't be farther from the truth."
She frowned, then rolled her eyes.
"Whatever. Maybe most women you meet think you're checking them out. I always assume someone's judging whether they could take me in a fight. Guess what? Answer's usually a big fat N-O.
"No?"
He chuckled to himself, wondering how a girl like her could ever hope to try and hold her own in a fight against him. But he decided not to press the issue. For now. There'd be plenty of room for that later. They reached the mess hall, and he pointed her in the right direction, then stood with arms crossed, watching her find her way around.
"Something bothering you, Napalm?"
A woman's voice came from behind him, and he turned.
"Just observing."
Karma. She was a Jaxite, a planet of same-sex procreators. Napalm had spent some time studying their culture when they had been asked to interfere in the Jaxite Civil War. Males against females, as often happened on that planet, as neither sex needed the other. She was also the sexiest woman he had ever met.
You don't like the new girl?
Karma asked.
Well, that's just it, isn't it?
He scoffed, certain Karma would see his point. It took all his focus not to be distracted by her curves, the way her blue and red robes wrapped about her body like silk.
I'm not following,
Karma said, stepping closer. Her scent was like mint with a hint of vanilla.
We have Quan, another Earther, a damn Republic of Korea Marine,
Napalm explained.
A rock Marine, they call them. And everyone on Earth knows how hardcore they are. Then you and me. So what the hell do we need this teenage drama queen up in here for?
You don't know she's a drama queen,
Karma argued.
In fact, judging by your reaction, I'd have to argue that the drama queen's standing right next to me.
Go screw yourself,
he replied.
I hear your kind specialize in that.
She turned her violet eyes on him, and he felt his blood rushing to his cheeks. Quickly, he turned to walk off.
Don't be ashamed, she called after him.
He stopped and glared back.
Of what?
She smirked and let her eyes drop to his crotch for a moment.
Most male species have a similar response to my presence. I'm not offended, really. More flattered.
Great. You're welcome for the compliment.
He rolled his fiery eyes and walked off, hoping to run into Hadrian. After a few minutes, he found him on the space deck. Hadrian stood in his ceremonial robes, looking like the deformed man who Napalm assumed most closely resembled his true form. Hadrian shifted form often, and it could be annoying. Taking a spot next to him at the window, the two watched as a long silver transport ship began to dock on their ship's landing pad.
What's up with the little girl?
Napalm asked.
It's good to see you already questioning my decisions, Arek.
Napalm turned to face him, the scars on his face creasing with his amused smile.
Napalm, sir. That name's no longer part of me.
Ah, true soldier through and through.
Hadrian nodded, eyeing him like a father would.
That's why you were appealing to the cause.
And the girl?
Hadrian laughed.
Trust me, you'll be thanking her for saving your life by the time this is all over with.
Napalm frowned, wanting to argue that point, but not wanting to give more offense than he already had by asking. The light flickered around him, and Hadrian raised an eyebrow.
My choice unsettles you so?
Hadrian asked, the frustrations boiling over.
These can't be your choices. You've brought the She-Bot seductress here and a little girl. If these are your choices, we're doomed. The universe is doomed.
You'll have to learn to control your temper at some point.
Napalm hung his head, still seething.
Yes, I know. Forgive me.
Don't forget, I also brought you, Quan, and this one.
He gestured to the spaceship docking outside the window.
And who is that?
You'll see soon enough. The point is, the five of you will be the keys to our survival. I would say trust me, but you really have no choice in the matter.
Napalm nodded, hands folded behind his back, and watched as the doors to the silver transport ship opened. His heart clenched as he caught sight of the emerging passenger, and he took a step back.
Dexalicitite?
Relax, Hadrian said. This one's on our side.
Chapter 3. Hadrian's ship, the mess hall. Samantha had just found herself a plate of stir-fried vegetables and what looked like chicken, pleased to see they had such food in this place. She was still pretty clueless about what exactly was happening, but was happy to put something in her belly. The mess hall wasn't all that different from what she had seen in the cafeteria in her school before the Syndicate alien forces had invaded. It had been a weird time back then, she thought to herself as she found a table and began to eat. When you're 10 and told there's an alien invasion coming in 2 years, you live a very different lifestyle. Everyone had been on a big kick of saying they were all going to die. It had scared the hell out of her and her friends, but seemed to give some of the other kids an excuse to just give up. Lots of her friends even stopped going to school, and their parents didn't seem to care. But Samantha stayed busy, teaching herself how to fight and watching survival videos on the global net. Then, when it really happened, the others all fell apart, but not her. Being assigned to the squad with Dan had given her a chance to use what she had learned, and she grew up on that squad, from a young girl to the soldier she was now. But Dan had met her when she was only 12, and he had a hard time seeing her as anything other than that little girl. That had been one strike against her. Now she was here, somewhere else in the universe, far away from home. Her chances of getting anywhere with Dan were looking slimmer by the minute. A bite of the chicken made her feel better, though, because it was the best damn chicken she had ever had. Her grandmother had raised her after her mom went to join the Marines, and while that had stung, her grandmother had always made this amazing butter chicken with lemon and basil. This chicken brought Samantha back to those days, but to be honest, as good a cook as her grandmother was, this food was on a whole new level. Her bench shook slightly as someone sat down on the other end of the table. Samantha looked up to see a grizzled soldier wearing all black, special ops clothes. The patch with his name said Quan, and she guessed he was from the Chinese or Korean military, or maybe Global Command. A glance down at her LRR camis made her feel a little less than inadequate. But that wasn't fair, she told herself. Sure, she was still only 16 and not exactly classical military trained, but she'd killed more Syndicate and people, for that matter, than most grown soldiers. Quan nodded once to her and returned to his meal. Embarrassed to have been caught staring, she looked straight ahead, took another bite, and then nearly choked. The doors had just opened, and in walked Death itself. The thing wore long black robes that trailed behind it, floating in a wind that didn't exist. A hood covered its head so that all she could see inside was darkness, even in the harsh lighting of the mess hall. "Got ourselves a Dexalicheatite, it'd seem," a woman said, sliding into the booth across from Samantha and blocking her view. "That, or we're under siege." Samantha's shock at the black-robed figure switched to awkwardness at the sight of the woman next to her. She was beautiful, and in her silken robes, she couldn't imagine any man not looking at her without desire. And then they would look at Samantha, comparisons would be made, and Sam would be found wanting. Samantha adjusted her sitting position, trying to straighten her posture. The woman's violet eyes seemed to see right through her efforts at composure.
What?
Hadrian already told me about him, the woman replied. Dex, for short. Their type don't really have names, but that's what Hadrian called him since it's easier to refer to him. I go by Karma. Samantha. Karma nodded as if she already knew that, then leaned in, revealing way too much cleavage in the process. I'll tell you a secret, Samantha. Would you like that? She wasn't sure she would, but felt compelled to nod. The rest of them, me included, we've got nothing on you. Frowning at that, Sam shook her head.
I don't buy that for a sec.
Karma laughed. You'll see. I mean, sure, you could fail. You could be killed in the first 5 minutes. But I sense things about people, and from what I can tell, you're going to blow us all out of the water.
Hadrian came calling, Samantha protested. That's all I know.
Hadrian beckoned all of us, dear. Karma turned to watch Dex glide across the floor, and I imagine he knows what he's doing. Karma turned back to stare at her, and Samantha was relieved when the doors opened and Hadrian walked in. As he walked, his form changed. First, he was the man he had been with Samantha, then the shape of a deformed gentleman. Moving deeper into the mess hall, he shifted to a being of mostly light, then a beautiful woman. With his final step, he settled into a mixture of them all, and seemed to glow faintly. The others turned to him, waiting patiently as he stood at the front of the room, where the ceiling rose to form a dome.
You're all wondering what this is,
Hadrian announced. With a grand gesture to the dome, the lights went out and forms appeared, shining above him like little lights. No, not lights, Samantha realized. Planets. Hadrian walked beneath them and then pointed to a cluster.
We're here, in what Earth won't discover for another 50 years or so, if Earth is still around. The rest of you will know this area as Entano Fos Prime, but I call it home.
We're going to your planet? Karma asked, voice hushed with excitement. Hadrian slowly shook his head.
That would be quite impossible. But we are going to the next planet over, where I and several others have agreed to train you. To teach you so that you will have a chance of defending our universe against this.
He pointed back up at the dome, and where there had been planets, images flashed. Massive spaceships with lasers firing, others exploding. Giant mechs swooping down on planets, aliens bursting out of egg-shaped metallic transports, and fierce black eyes on creatures of almost pure white, staring at them. With a wave of his hand, Hadrian cast aside the images, and the lights came back on.
The hell was that? Samantha gasped.
Too many of those images resembled the ones she had seen in her dreams, the ones that had started back in her first year of fighting the Syndicate. It seemed so long ago.
What you just saw, everyone.
Hadrian walked out among them now.
Was what you will be going up against. Each of your planets, well, almost each,
he corrected with a glance toward Dex,
is defending itself in some way as we speak. I know most of you want to be there, on your own planets, helping to win the war. Well, let me assure you that if we don't succeed up here, your worlds will never stand a chance. The enemy is bigger, badder, and more terrifying than you could ever imagine. Believe me, I know from experience.
A deep sorrow fell over him, and for a moment images appeared again on the dome. Blurry figures, running, mouths open in silent screams. An explosion. Nothing left. The woman across from Samantha leaned in and whispered, Dex is a defector. Sam shot her a curious look. His whole planet fights for the other side, except for him. The woman continued, if they ever found him, woo-wee. Let's just say, it'd be bad. Samantha's brow furrowed.
Wouldn't it be bad for any of us if we defected and were caught?
The woman thought about that, then shrugged.
True, you're a smart one.
Hadrian lifted his head again, and silence returned, everyone waiting for his next words.
I have only one question for you all at this point. There's no time to waste. You're already here, so it's a bit late, but do you accept? Will you stand with the others in this room? Stand against the tyrannical forces that mean to destroy everything we hold dear?
Samantha was the first to stand.
Hell yes!
The others looked at her as she stood tall, hands at her sides. She was ready for this. As far as she was concerned, this was what she was born for. Hadrian glanced around the room, and the rest followed one at a time, declaring their commitment in their own languages. It amazed Samantha how far ahead the rest of the universe was compared to Earth. When everyone had voiced their commitment, Hadrian smiled and nodded.
Then we have chosen wisely. The ship will be leaving the gate shortly, where we will touch down on...
His words trailed off, as his eyes moved to the massive window that took up one side of the mess hall. A bright light, purple and turquoise, was forming between five metallic objects. Suddenly the light shot out, illuminating the entire area between the points. Pure darkness formed in its center, and then something started to appear.
Everyone to their rooms! The rest to your battle stations!
Hadrian shouted.
We've waited too long as it is!
They all stood and began to move, but not before Samantha caught another glimpse of the thing coming through the gate. First came long, pointed objects that could have been rock or old bronze, followed by a massive shape. Her breath caught as she realized they were horns, and the shape, a head. Its yellow eyes glowed brightly, cut with black slits along the middle, and as it emerged from the gate, its mouth opened to reveal rows upon rows of sharp teeth.
Move!
Hadrian shouted, now running. Samantha was about to go to her station as commanded, but realized that she didn't know where that was. Instead, she followed Hadrian. Chapter 4. Hadrian's Ship, Command Center. Samantha hurried after Hadrian through the brightly lit halls, feeling the surge of the engines as the vessel turned to face the beast. They burst into the command center, where four aliens wearing dark gold armor and helmets manned the ship. A red line marked their helmets at eye level, and their gear reminded Samantha of video games she had seen her neighbor play as a kid. It was always about jumping around and shooting alien enemies, getting new guns and armor, and looking as badass as you could while doing the most damage. Well, these guys certainly looked badass, she thought.
Got it in our sights, sir,
one of the aliens said, glancing up as Hadrian entered. We're fighting it? Samantha asked. Hadrian turned to her, frowning at her presence, and said,
Fire.
Not fighting it, she saw as the ship's blasters began their assault, attacking the gate.
Will that work? She asked.
Hadrian gave her another annoyed glance.
You're going to have to learn to follow orders if you're going to make it on your first mission. But yes, it will work. In a fashion.
The beast had seen them and was turning, the points on its horns beginning to glow bright yellow.
Full power,
Hadrian said, then pressed his fingers to the side of his neck and spoke. His voice projected across the ship like a stereo sound system.
Napalm, we're going to need you on the command deck.
One of the glowing horns fired, sending a blast of energy through space. It connected with a bright explosion of light and a ripple of the shields around Hadrian's ship.
Evasive maneuvers?
The alien at the controls asked. Hadrian shook his head.
Steady the attack.
They let loose a non-stop barrage against the nodes of the gate, not even trying to move out of the way of the next explosive attack. Judging by the glow around the other horn, that attack was about to hit at any moment.
Sir?
The alien said, voice quivering.
Hold?
The glow intensified, but they continued their barrage.
Hold?
Here it came, Samantha thought, bracing herself against the wall. The node exploded just as the horn released its attack.
Move!
Hadrian shouted, grabbing the backs of the two chairs in front of him. Everyone tilted as the ship jolted with the blast, then took off in flight mode, narrowly avoiding the explosion. They circled up and then came back around, the bright light of stars in the distance causing Samantha to stare for a moment, nearly forgetting their predicament.
Fire!
Hadrian shouted, the words pulling Samantha back to the present. She saw that the edges of the gate now looked like a sheet of plastic closing in on itself. It vibrated with sparks of light as the shots hit it, and the monster turned to them with a silent roar. The doors to the command center slid open, and Napalm rushed in, his eyes narrowing in curiosity at the sight of Samantha there.
Reporting for duty, sir,
he said, taking a solid stance at Hadrian's side.
Let's show Samantha here why you got your name, shall we?
Hadrian nodded to the control panel and said,
We need all expendable energy channeled into those blasters. Can you do that?
Napalm looked uncertain for a moment, but then said,
You tell me when to stop pulling, right? Monitor what we need?
The alien he had addressed nodded.
Do it,
Hadrian commanded. Napalm stepped up, put his hands on the control panel, and closed his eyes. The ship continued its flight, but a massive drain of energy caused a shudder, and all lights went out.
We only need engines and blasters,
Hadrian commanded his pilot.
We're at 49% overall, sir,
the alien replied.
More, Napalm. Give us more.
Napalm gritted his teeth, muscles tensing, face turning red. Again the ship shuddered, and Samantha stared in horror as another explosion of energy came at them from the monster's horns.
35,
the alien said, then leaned in.
Now 15?
Release the cannon!
Hadrian commanded. The ship went still, a perfect target for the monster. But a massive blue light had formed at the front of the vessel, just visible from the edge of the command ship window. Suddenly, the light exploded outward. It connected with the translucent gate, shattering it like glass that vanished from sight a moment later, along with the monster. Samantha staggered back, finding a seat on a bench that ran along the back wall. Hadrian turned to Napalm, a hand on his shoulder.
Well done.
Yeah, no shit,
Samantha said, shaking her head in awe.
That was amazing.
What the hell was that thing?
Napalm asked. Hadrian hesitated.
I'll brief you all, but for now, just know that's only a sample of what's to come. And it made it through that gate? Why? There are various gates we've set up within this galaxy, and others for intergalactic travel,
Hadrian explained.
Gates are set up with star nodes, given the power to create a jump. Destroying that node, as we did, didn't hurt the monster. It just redirected the gate back upon itself. Sending it home,
Napalm offered, as if that wasn't clear.
Yes,
The problem is, they aren't supposed to be able to access these gates to begin with. Which means...
A traitor? Samantha asked. His gaze this time wasn't annoyed, but slightly worried and impressed.
As inexperienced in such matters as you may be, I'm still surprised at your insight at times. Yes, the only explanation is that they've gotten to one of us, somehow.
Sir, continue as planned?
One of the aliens asked. Hadrian nodded.
The journey will take us longer without the gate, but we can reach the next one within a week. In the meantime, we'll begin our training on board, though that wasn't what we'd planned.
The alien pilot turned to him, waiting.
And once on planet?
I'll have to meet with the elders, but I imagine they'll agree with what I assume you're thinking. That we have to strike before they reach any more gates? Precisely.
Hadrian's eyes were now directed at Samantha and Napalm.
Meaning we're going to have to accelerate training, in a sense. I believe on Earth it would be called in-the-field training, or on-the-job, maybe? Meaning you're gonna send us to fight those things as part of our training?
Napalm asked, fiery eyes going wide.
No, Samantha said, standing again. Not those things. We're going to find the one they're using. We're going to find the traitor.
Hadrian nodded.
If they've captured one of our own and are using him or her to access gates, it must be stopped.
But why us?
The elders are fighting a bigger war, a different kind of war. You five will be my strike team, a sort of black ops team in space, sent in to see to these sorts of jobs. Missions that are critical to the survival of our universe, but that are best done by a small team that can get in, kick immeasurable amounts of ass, and get out unharmed.
For a long moment, Samantha and Napalm stared at him.
Thoughts of running around space in black commando clothes, the type that Quan wore in the mess hall, and sniping badass aliens or blowing up their ships before diving into space, got her heart pumping with excitement.
Let's get to it, she said.
Napalm smiled.
This is what I signed up for, Chief. Put us out there. You won't be disappointed.
That's what the next week aboard this ship will test,
Hadrian replied, but he couldn't hide his smile.
I'm glad to see this doesn't scare you off.
Samantha shrugged.
Is it terrifying?
Hell yes.
Does it thrill me to know we're going to be saving the universe? Double hell yes. The latter outweighs any chance fear would have of raising its ugly face.
Napalm laughed.
What she said.
Good.
Hadrian nodded to the door.
Now, follow orders. Get some rest while I brief the others. When we're clear of this section of the galaxy, we'll begin training.
Samantha didn't hesitate to follow orders this time. And as one of the aliens showed them to their chambers, she couldn't wipe the smile from her face. Her friends back on Earth had thought she was crazy. She had started to believe she was crazy. Now that craziness was going to be unleashed on those alien bastards she had seen in her visions and nightmares. They had no idea what was coming for them. Hadrian stared out at space as they flew away from the gate, annoyed that he couldn't simply transport the whole lot of them along with the ship instantly. It was inevitable, he figured, that the gate would be breached. The group needed time to train, so this wasn't the worst setback. What came next, though, would be the determining factor. To what extent had the enemy breached the gates?
Jackal, pull up the elders.
Hadrian commanded. His pilot looked up, then nodded.
On it.
Screeching sounded as the window shifted to a viewing screen showing a display of the reception room of an ancient castle. As Hadrian watched, the room in the image vibrated as if struck. The image of Elder Orlean appeared, her eyes off-screen as she cursed. At the sight of Hadrian, her expression darkened. Still, she retained her regal pose, lavender hair tied up behind her, and a crown of glowing white resting on her turquoise forehead. Golden robes flowed about her, and in the background the other members of the elders were visible, each wrapped up in their own heated discussions.
"They opened siege the moment you left,"
Orlean screamed into the display.
"You were given strict orders."
"I'm an equal member of the elders."
Hadrian corrected her.
"You very explicitly voiced your opinion, and I told you it was wrong. Need we carry on with this charade, or shall we move on to the topic at hand?"
Orlean seethed, but nodded.
"It's worse than you thought,"
he went on.
"They haven't just begun the assault there. They've breached the gates."
The anger on Orlean's face was replaced with concern.
"How is it you know this, but your ship still operates and you're still alive?"
"The team is with me. One of them took out the nearest gate, but that won't hold the enemy off for long."
"All I can say is hurry," she replied, then swiveled off camera to order a team of pilots to mount the defensive. "We'll meet you on planet," she added when she turned back to Hadrian. "We've been compromised here. It's the only way."
"It's a signal to the Alliance, one we can't afford to ignore."
"And if we stay here, the elders die. What sort of signal would that send? What would that do for morale?"
Hadrian consented to that with a grunt.
"Then I look forward to seeing you soon, Elder Orlean."
She nodded, then turned with a flurry of golden robes and walked off, leaving Hadrian to clear the display with a swipe of his hand. The elders watching his every move wasn't exactly welcome, though he had expected something like this after setting off against their will. He had no choice. None of them knew what was truly happening. None of them understood what these 5 chosen ones would bring to the Alliance, what great feats they would accomplish as they carved the path to victory. Chapter 5. Hadrian's Ship, Training Bay. Samantha had lain in bed for hours trying to sleep, thinking about home while staring up at the perfectly white ceiling. If all this was real, what did that mean for what she could do now? If her memory of those days fighting alongside her mom were accurate, she had made things explode just with her mind. She had even flown to a degree. All such memories had been pushed aside as nonsense, her mind's way of coping with a disturbed childhood. But didn't Hadrian's presence prove otherwise? At first, she hadn't thought much of it. Another mission her kick-ass mom was going to dominate. But then they never came back, and the real assault by the Syndicate began. It got worse and worse, and by the time Dan found Samantha, she was different. She wasn't the same fighter. She wanted to hide in the dark corners and just be done with all of the explosions, death, and chaos. Soon, that different had become the norm, until Dan had convinced her to join the LRR. It wasn't long before her gusto for life and fighting the Syndicate had returned, but by then she had convinced herself most of what she remembered was a dream. Her mom? Likely killed in some ambush that Samantha had blocked out of her memory, she thought. But not anymore. This journey was real, as had been her powers, which meant the story Dan had told her of her mom going to a time ship could have been real. Whatever happened after that was anyone's guess. Finally, Samantha's eyelids had grown heavy, and she let sleep take her. For the first time she could remember, it was a sleep full of rest and pleasant thoughts. Her dreams took her to a day with her grandmother, visiting the old house in the country. Fields with fireflies dancing in the evening, sipping lemonade in her grandmother's lap, and hearing stories about earlier days, what Samantha's mom had been like before joining the Marines. That was the world she fought for, a world of moments that mattered. When she woke, she did her usual routine of push-ups and stretches, then found an outfit someone must have dropped off for her while she was sleeping. It was a black training gear, much like the outfit Quan had arrived in. The shoes were a hybrid of running shoes and boots, and the pants were made out of a material that was tight enough to not catch on anything, but loose enough to not restrict her movements. She practiced a few kicks and takedown moves, stuff Dan and others before him had shown her, and felt ready for anything. The tank top was slightly too revealing for her tastes, but she was glad to see another shirt to wear over it. That was another part of growing older that had annoyed her, having to worry about clothes being too revealing and the thoughts they sent through the men's minds on her team. She was supposed to be just another one of the team, a fighter, a warrior. It was hard to pretend that was true when eyes wandered where they shouldn't. Not that she would have ever complained if that had been the case with Dan, but it never was. The last thing she wanted right now was to get lost in thoughts of him, so she went to find the others and see when training would start. The excitement over having a true purpose was overwhelming, and if she wasn't preparing every spare minute, she thought she would burst. Three doors down, she heard a muffled sound and figured that whoever it was must be awake. Pausing, she noticed the door ajar and lifted her hand to knock, but then froze. In the mirror, she saw the reflection of Karma, completely nude, on top of someone. The two were moving as if in a small boat that rocked on the waves. She watched as hands moved up, caressing the woman's back, then moved lower. It was a sight Samantha had never seen. Sure, she had walked in on men and women making love back on Earth. Sometimes in the barracks of the LRR, she had even seen it happening in a bunk three or four over, as if they didn't know anyone was awake or didn't care. This was different, though she couldn't put her finger on why. Suddenly, Karma sat up and turned to look her way. For a moment, her eyes lingered on Samantha, then her eyebrows raised in a do-you-like-what-you're-seeing way. Horrified to be caught looking, Samantha was about to turn and go when Karma backed up off the bed and the other figure rose to look. Another Karma. Before Samantha could process this, the second version of Karma had vanished, and it was just the original, throwing on a silk robe that barely covered her.
"My apologies,"
Karma said, coming to the door and pulling it the rest of the way open.
"It must have opened without me knowing."
Samantha wasn't sure if she should believe that, but was too flabbergasted by what she'd just seen to make a decision one way or the other. Instead, she just blinked hard, trying to get the image out of her mind. The sensation of being tempted by something that went completely against your natural cravings was a frustrating and very curious one.
"On my planet, we don't always need someone else to keep us occupied," Karma said. "Is it not the same on yours?"
Samantha blushed.
"I was hoping the training would start soon and was looking for the rest of the team. Sorry to interrupt."
"Is it not the same on yours?" the woman repeated.
Frowning, Samantha couldn't help but notice the way the robe was falling slightly too low as Karma asked the question.
"I'm just gonna go."
Samantha turned and started walking, mind spinning.
"Wait, I'll come with you,"
Karma said, skipping after her like a water nymph skimming across the pond. Running a hand through her hair, Samantha bit her lip, wondering how to phrase her thoughts.
I don't know if it'd be appropriate in those clothes, I mean.
Karma glanced down, realizing she was slightly exposed, and smiled.
My, you have a point. The men would likely explode, am I right?
I'm sure you are.
Give me 2 minutes.
Karma disappeared back inside, once again not bothering to close the door. Samantha stood in the hallway, arms folded across her chest, waiting. A door nearby opened, and out came Quan, dressed now in the style of training clothes they all wore.
Training?
He asked, and she noted that he might be a man of few words. She nodded, then motioned to Karma's door.
Just waiting on her.
He grunted and approached, then turned to look through the open door before Samantha thought to warn him not to. Without a second glance, he turned back away with a beet red face. Samantha couldn't help but smile as he continued on without them. At least Karma was making others uncomfortable, too.
Meet you there,
Samantha called after him, to which he just replied with another grunt and a nod of his head. She had to laugh at that, and made a note to have a word with the lady later. Maybe this kind of behavior on her own planet was fine, but in a team like this, it was likely to cause some major issues. Karma appeared a moment later, now wearing the black training gear and looking much more appropriate.
They expect me to move around in this?
She asked, clearly not excited about having to wear clothes that actually covered her skin.
You know, Samantha offered, on my planet, women fight with their hands and feet, even guns and knives, not only with their sexuality.
Why take away one of our biggest weapons against the enemy?
The enemy?
Samantha frowned. Oh, well, maybe not in this war, but in the wars against men, surely you must admit the power of distraction does wonders. That deserved another laugh, though Samantha had to admit to herself it was as much out of humor as discomfort.
On Earth, we don't have wars against men.
Truly? Karma shook her head. Odd, considering I heard all of your armies are led by men. You'd think one of you women would step up at some point and put a stop to it all.
Yes, one might think that.
As they continued down the hallway, a feeling of foreboding came over Samantha, and she glanced back to see Dex floating along in his hooded cloak. The sight of him sent a shiver up her spine.
Guess we don't all have to train in these clothes,
Karma noted.
Good. I may take mine off if they get in the way.
Samantha held up a hand.
Please don't.
With a shrug, the woman continued on. 2 bay doors slid apart at their approach, and they found themselves back in the mess hall. Quan was at the opposite side, where a door opened and the sounds of someone training came from within. Samantha picked up the pace now, curious to see what they were dealing with, and really starting to wonder how big the ship was. Judging by the hallways and what she had seen of the command center, it certainly wasn't some fighter. She had a feeling they were riding in a fairly good-sized badass spaceship. Knowing Hadrian to the extent that she did, how could it be otherwise? The walls of the training room were a silvery blue, and the room was full of sparring equipment, weights, and a small obstacle course. Various doors led out of it, though she couldn't see to where. At one side, she noticed a rack of swords. Each had a unique level of intricacy, some with glowing lines of green or blue. On the wall to her left was a pair of mechanical wings. To her right, she saw a wall covered in various types of rifles and pistols. Apparently, this was the training room and the armory. Quan was jumping up and down, shaking his arms, and then moved to the pull-up bar. He busted out a set like they were nothing. Dex floated in behind them and lingered for a moment, then moved to the swords. A hint of his dark black hand showed when he reached for a bright blue sword, and then he was moving like the wind, sword flowing as if caught up in the various gusts that brought it smoothly up and then fiercely down. It was enchanting to watch. Karma nudged her.
Men, right? Always showing off.
Karma leaned in, lowering her voice.
The hooded one, is he a man? Is that what you were going to ask?
Samantha turned away, blushing. What a stupid question, and who really cared? But Karma added,
nobody knows, really. Many put the standard he on their kind, such as one would for God.
Well, idiots would, I should say.
Of course, God is a woman. I'm right here.
Samantha glanced over, not sure if the woman was joking. Judging by the broad smile, she was.
It's not really showing off when we're here to be training,
Napalm said from behind them, startling Samantha.
I'd say there are other ways of showing off that a certain someone has been guilty of since arriving. Way worse than what's going on here.
Ah, yet more pleasing to the eye,
Karma said, seeing the insult for what it was.
Let's go. Obstacle course, you two,
he commanded. She frowned.
I thought you were just another member of the team.
I am. But we all have strengths here, and mine's taking charge and getting butts moving when those butts are busy being lazy.
Karma smirked, shaking her head.
Keep your mind off my butt while training, and I'll do whatever you say. Consider it a challenge.
She started toward the obstacle course.
Oh, and I'm doing it, but not because you said so.
At the first section, a small wall with bars above for maneuvering over, she stopped to stretch, leaving Napalm a nice view of her ass. He quickly recovered, looking away, and found Samantha staring up at him.
It's normal to stare on your planet, I'm guessing?
He asked. Sorry, getting to the obstacle course. She ran over, not bothering to stretch. Her adrenaline was still pumping at the close-up view of those fiery eyes. They were unlike anything she had ever seen before, as if someone had lit a flame within marbles and then put those marbles in his eye sockets.
You trying to make me look bad?
Karma called after her. Samantha was too busy working her way past the first bars, then up a rope that led to a ledge for her to roll across. Friends had died back on Earth, and she'd left others behind to get here. Napalm was right. This wasn't a place to play games or partake in gossip. It was time to train. When the time came for her to get revenge on those sons of bitches in the Syndicate, she meant to bring them unspeakable amounts of pain. So she pushed herself, rolling out of the way of simulated blaster fire. She hoped it was simulated, anyway. She ran full speed at the next obstacle, a wall, preparing to run halfway up and jump the rest as she had done many times when fighting the Syndicate. Halfway up, though, two figures leaped out at her, one from the ground, one from the ceiling, swords at the ready. Both swung and one caught her on the shoulder, sending a jolt through her arm that made her fall sideways and step off the area marked as the course. A light flashed, and everyone turned to see Samantha on the floor.
Guess this obstacle course has a sense of humor,
Napalm said, stepping over to help her out.
Again?
You first.
Her arm was still stinging, and she was kind of pissed about it even being part of the course.
Together,
he stated. It wasn't a question. They took their positions, Samantha rolling her eyes when she saw Karma still stretching. On noticing this, the woman stepped forward. "Allow me, big man," she told Napalm, and stepped into his path. Again, the woman made a point of turning her ass in his direction, especially as she bent into an arch-backed stretch. Glancing over her shoulder, she added, "Do you mind?" He looked more annoyed than anything else, but gestured for her to go ahead.
"Watch how it's done, little Rose," Karma said, and then took off. Each jump and placement of her limbs was precise, delicate, and smooth. She didn't have the wind-like style of Dex, but moved like a river maneuvering around large boulders and anything put in its path.
"Any day,"
Napalm said behind Samantha, and she remembered that she was supposed to be going too. She broke into a run, throwing herself from one obstacle to the next, keenly aware that Quan and Dex had both stopped to watch.
"Don't embarrass yourself now, Sam," she told herself, swinging down from the bars to hit the ground with a roll.
Then she was up and running, ready for the two figures with the swords this time. Karma had paused, glancing back with a smile, and then charged forward as one with Samantha. The figures leaped out at them, but this time the mock swords came from a different direction. Karma rolled with it, moving around the figure to land a reverse elbow and then a jumping backward push kick, throwing herself at the wall. By the time Samantha had ducked under the first strike and landed a roundhouse kick to the attacker, a mannequin, she now saw, Karma was already up and over the next wall.